spoke yet. My name is Mark Ailment. I'm from the Battlefield area of Narcotics Anonymous. Let me read this speaker statement because I don't feel like reading. I'm a little tired, and I'm going to talk about that tonight. But first, we're going to get this out of the way. The speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside of the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Once again, my name is Mark, and I'm an addict. And I don't need to tell y'all about any war stories, because I'm in this room at 3, whatever time it is in the morning, right? So I'm qualified right there, right? That tells you a little bit of identification, you know, with who I am. Because, you know, I'm looking around the room, and I'm saying, you know, who is in this room? And I'm going to start off by telling you what happened when the program committee contacted me, right? And I was not in a spiritual place at the time, right? And I'm not making excuses, because at any number of times, they could have caught me in this place. And so they called me, and they said, We want you to share, right? Did it kind of like we reconsidered some things. We want you to come speak at the convention. And I was like, you know what I mean? I knew it wasn't the main speaker, right? But I wasn't thinking it was 3:30 in the morning either, right? So I said, well, what you want me to do? And you know, and they told me, and you know, they told me 3 o'clock. Even they try to lie and make it a little earlier. You know, 3 o'clock, we need you to come out and give that message. And I said, you motherfuckers want my message of recovery, then you'll come get me to do it earlier. You know what I mean? And the tape's on, right? This is not in the convention center, by the way. This is in a basement across the street. You know what I mean? So I just need to make that clear for the tape, right? You know, because I was resentful. I was mad for real. See, it's funny now, right? And, see, I'm not even a laughing and joking kind of dude, right? That doesn't mean you can't laugh. If you find it funny, that's all good, right? Whatever keeps you coming, you know what I mean? But I'm just not that kind of guy, and I was not in that space, right? And they put all the sugarcoat up, but blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? And so I say all that to, you know, set the mood of where I received this message from and what I started thinking. And then they said, it's riding out the storm, right? So, look, now I got to continue on. I got to continue on and tell you all the truth. This is the day that this was going on, riding out the storm, right? Now is to insinuate, right, that there's some still suffering addicts in this room tonight, right, that might use if they don't get this message of recovery, right? And so, you know what my reply to that was? If they're suffering, somebody needs to tell them to go to fuck to bed. You know what I mean? Because when I was new in this program and I didn't have a whole lot of time, right, at 3 o'clock in the morning, this is what I'm going to tell you, and I know this to be fact, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was closer to using if I was awake than if I was asleep. This is a simple program, and it's just that simple, right? So I'm going to calm down a little bit now. And thank you guys, not the programming committee, Ocean City, or CPRCNA, because see, I serve all these places on a different level, right? You know what I mean? This is where I'm from. This is where I lived. This is where I got clean. This is where I continue to serve to this day. And I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about riding out the storm, right? So what I'm here to say is when I walked into this room, I see those feelings. I see that pain floating in this room. And it's clear to me why people are up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I remember when. You know what I mean? And so now I got all that energy stored up to say, you know, they need to go to fuck to bed, right? And it's going to come across in a different way now. You know what I mean? It's going to come across in a different way. And it reminds me of Just for Today. And I'm going to read a little part of Just for Today. This is only going to take a second, right? And it says, just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. And I had 7 days clean. And by the way, is it April 9th? I got four years clean today. The truth is, at 10 o'clock in the morning on April 9th, 2002, I shot my last bag of dope, you know, right before I went into detox, right? It really made sense that, you know, I used before I go in there. Not because I had any illusions that I was going to get high, because I just wanted to put off getting sick for a little while longer, you know what I mean? And, you know, I come in here tonight and I look around the room and I feel this. I feel it. You know, it's not even that I see it. It's that I feel it. You know what I mean? I'm clear that recovery happens in our meetings. You know what I mean? I identify with what Jimmy Kay talked about, and we do recover. You know what I mean? When he talked about that sign language, when he talked about empathy, you know, and I'm clear on it. You might not be clear on some of these things, and that's okay. Right? And the deal is, you're in this room tonight for a reason, you know what I mean? And so I can turn all that, you know, somebody needs to tell them to go to bed thing, into somebody needs to tell them what to do, man. Somebody needs to help some people tonight. Somebody needs to let them know that somebody in this program will believe in you. You know what I mean? When I'm riding out the storm, right, because I still ride out the storm sometimes, basically caused by my own behavior, I got people in this program who believe in me. You know what I mean? Because I'm not always going to be able to find a meeting at 3 o'clock in the morning. See, that's a real deal. And you see, think this is not a life and death thing. This is the real thing. This is real. And I know this is real because I'm here at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not awake at 3 o'clock in the morning anymore. In 4 years' time, almost everything about my life has changed. And I'm not awake at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not. I'm just not. Ever. Period. It's just that simple, right? I need to achieve balance in my life today, man. Balance tells me it ain't spiritual to deprive myself of sleep. It's not. And if you don't have somebody that's ever told you that information, then you might not have somebody that believes in you in this program and wants you to achieve that same balance in life that the people that believed in me wanted me to achieve. They wanted me to do things that were bigger than me, you know? I have a self-destructive force inside of me, and it can flare up and want me to die at any given time. It can want to take my life at any given time. This ain't about coffee and donuts, man. This is about my life. I come in here, I was 30 couple years old. I had spent 7 years in a penitentiary in my 20s and 2 years in institutions. Man, there ain't a whole lot of math involved there. That's where I live. And the other few years that were left, I used. You know, I used to the point that I thought I was from an inner city project. Do I look like I'm from an inner city project in Southeast Washington, D.C.? Huh? But I swore I was. It's delusion. You know what I mean? That's me functioning off of my information with a self-destructive force inside of me that wants to kill me. It's that real. It is that real. My disease either had me stuck in a place where the things that I was putting in my body were trying to kill me, or it wanted me locked up where I couldn't function like a normal human being. Our basic text talks about being animalistic. My being reduced to animalistic behavior. That's me. That's all I ever knew. I came in here and people talked about, you know, I'm going to go back and I'm going to be such and such now. And I'm like, what the fuck am I going to be? All I ever was a criminal and drug addict. What do I get to be now? I ain't used to be nothing. What am I going to be now? I don't care how I look tonight. 4 years ago, this is a little longer than that, because I didn't get it the first time. I needed to go back out. But see, when I went back out, right, my sponsors always reminded me of something. That person in NA who believed in me gave me some shit, you know what I mean? And I couldn't give it back. I wanted to, and I tried twice, truth be told, because I've been in here for 6 years, and I'd celebrate 4 years this morning. You know, at 10 o'clock, it'll actually be 4 years. So once again, the math ain't hard to do, right? So during that period of time, I tried to give that information back. And what he always reported to me was, I can never unknow. Man, that was some good shit right there. Thank God I can't unknow, because I would have. I would have. The pain that was inside of me, my broken spirit, my fallen human condition that made me less than and feel different than everybody else in the world, would have said, give that shit back, man. It's scary. And let's go back to that place of fear where we live. Do whatever we need to do to not feel. Care if we die, if we invite infectious diseases into our life, if we spend the rest of our life in a penitentiary. So what? Let's just not feel tonight. Well, I can't come in here and help you not feel. That's not where my path has taken me today. My path has taken me today where I can feel anything that comes into my life, and I don't always like it. But I can feel it, and I can deal with it. Because I got people in my life in NA who believe in me. You know, riding the storm out, right? So I'm going to break this down, right? Because there's the first time you ride the storm out, right? And that's a positive thing, right? So I'm going to talk about that first. And this is just my opinion, right? Everything I'm sharing tonight is me. It's my experience through specifically being in Narcotics Anonymous, period. All right? But it's still Mark's opinion, right? So in my opinion, right, there's two different kinds of riding a storm out. There's the first time you rode that storm out, right? And what that means is that was like the first time, you know, when you was clean, right? And the first time you like really wanted to use, or you really wanted to hurt yourself, or you really wanted to hurt somebody else, and you rode it out and you got through it and you gained that invaluable experience that lets you go on to the next time. You say, I've been here before. I can do this. I can stay clean. You know what I mean? And that's some really powerful stuff, man. And if ain't nobody ever told you, you can do it. You know? And that's some really powerful stuff. And then there's that other kind of riding storm out. You know what I mean? After I made it through that first time, you know what I mean? When it's no longer about the narcotics, when it's about that relationship or that financial unmanageability, or, you know, what's my thing? Oh, how could I forget? Road rage, you know what I mean? When I want to do things in traffic that could send me back to the penitentiary. What? And afterwards, I'm like ashamed. You know what I mean? I'm just talking about me. I'm ashamed that I'm like, oh my God, I represent Narcotics Anonymous in all my affairs. I practice spiritual principles. What happened? Right? And that thing that's inside of me, you know what I mean? That self-destructive force flares up. And is that an excuse? No, that's not an excuse. See, what does this piece of paper right say right here? Which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions? I don't need to read anymore. Which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions? And we can just talk about the steps tonight, you know? So I'm talking about trying to heal that thing. Trying to talk about healing that thing before it kills me. You know what it feels like to be clean and to feel that isolation and desperation and despair that I felt when I was using? You know what it was like that last day when I was using and I had just enough of the narcotics that I like to do and the way that I like to do them, and they didn't take away those feelings? That's why I'm here. It ain't because I got sick of the drugs. I got sick of them not working anymore. What happened? Somebody tricked me along the way. You know, I told you who I was. What, did it sound like I was a quitter? No. No, I wasn't. I would have rode this train to the bitter end.
I know
that's right. But it quit working. Quit working. And see, that's the process in here, man. I can invite some behavior into my life that I think is going to make me feel good, and it's going to get me feeling good for a moment. Right? But I can't unknow. Can't unknow what I've been told in here. I can't unknow what I've felt in here. I can't unknow what I've seen in here. I can't unknow the work that I've done. I can't unknow how I've gotten closer to a spirit that I've never been able to get close to before. I can't unknow a power greater than myself that I got to know in that second and third step. I can't unknow that stuff. So when I do that behavior that's unbecoming, that is in conflict with spiritual principles, I feel that pain again. It takes me back to that place, you know, where I'm different than everybody else, where I feel different than everybody else, where anxiety and uncomfortability fill my whole realm, where I can't sit still in a chair, where I don't know what to do. And I got people in this program who believe in me, who will help me ride out any storm. You know, I remember one time, see, I'm blessed to, my whole life is recovery. You know what I mean? I was going to talk about one facet of it, but for real, my significant other's in recovery. My roommate is in recovery. On my job, I hire the people, right? They're all in recovery. You know what I mean? I do service, right? I do service on a group level. I do service on an area level. I do service on a regional level, right? So my whole life is recovery. You know, one time I had hired an addict. And this addict was doing some behavior that was unbecoming to an area of Narcotics Anonymous, right? To a whole area. They wasn't digging this shit, right? He was 40 couple years old, and he decided he liked young girls, you know? And the area kind of brought it to me. I'm like, what the fuck? You need to do something about this. And I was like, yeah. You know what I mean? I picked up that banner right away. Yeah. You know what I mean? That self-righteous shit. And you know what I mean? And yeah, I do. And right. I know, like we're going to go lynch him or something. You know what I mean? Get the rope. So I called my sponsor up, man. I said, well, you know what? Check this out. You know what I mean? I want him to get on my side and hype me. And be like, yeah, Martin, you're going to do that. And I said, this is the situation, man. This is what's going on. And he's like, you know, what you need to do right now is you need to go to that addict and you need to be his support. You need to hold his hand through this process. You need to be the one that he's going to remember. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to lead this damn meeting tonight at 3 o'clock in the morning. But I did it. That's my experience. When I came in here, you told me to do something. I wanted to intellectually understand why. And once I figured it out, I really didn't have to do it anyhow because I already knew what the effect was going to be. So I could invent the effect in me. What the fuck kind of shit is that? I'm saying it now, right? Thinking to myself, that's crazy as hell. But that's really how I felt. That's why my story started 6 years ago in Narcotics Anonymous, and I got 4 years clean today, right? So that wasn't like 2 years of like high fives and, you know, parties and, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean? That was like 2 years of fucking pain before the pain could start in here in the process of recovery. Man, you ain't got to get that. You ain't got to get that. For real. All you got to do is find somebody who believes in you in Narcotics Anonymous. Tell you go the fuck to bed and call me in the morning. For real, man. Take care of yourselves. You know what I mean? I'm like hyped on coffee right now, man. I don't live like this any longer. I quit drinking soda and shit. You know what I mean? I ain't come to Narcotics Anonymous smoke a pack of Newports a day. I ain't do that. You know what I mean? That's not what my God wants me to do. God don't want me on my knees smoking and praying. God don't want me standing out front flicking butts around the fucking place talking about, I got a spiritual way to live. Come hug me. You know what I mean? That's not what he wants. And that's okay. Because I ain't coming here in the first day stop smoking either. You know, let's be clear on that. This is a process. And I would have never made it through that process if somebody didn't say, hey, come with me, Mark. Right? Come with me. And I would have never made it through that process if I didn't stop when they said, do this, and said, as soon as I figure it out, I will, meaning that I won't because I'll already know. Once again, that shit sounds crazy, me even saying it. That's like a tongue twister or something. What do you say? I'm glad that's on tape. So, you know, the point I was trying to make is that when I'm told to do something, I still might bitch about it, right? But unless it's something prohibiting me from doing it, I'm going to do it. And I'm not one of those addicts that's going to sit here and tell you, that I'm not going to emphasize that with NA, right? Because I've been taught that this program that NA has given me was to make me a productive member of society. You know what I mean? So that I can go out there and I can do service in the whole world. My sponsor tells me I'm a slave, and I might as well get used to it. And you know when I'm the happiest is when I'm cool with being a slave. And you know when I'm the unhappiest? When I don't want to do it. When I don't want to do what they tell me to do. Rebellious and defiant to the core. That's who I am, man. I got to get out of me. I got to learn to get out of me. And I could not do that by myself. I couldn't do it like that. And the truth is, I couldn't do it by hearing somebody talk about it. What really happened was somebody told me about it, said, here, take my number, call me tomorrow, and I'll pick you up and take you to a meeting, right? I didn't, you know, and the next day it didn't happen that way. I was like, what, is he gay? You know what I mean? What the fuck does that mean? You know what I mean? What do you want to take me to a meeting for? For what? You know what I mean? I don't got no fucking money. But I did it, and I kept doing it. And see, you know, I'm thinking about the most significant relationships I have in life today. That's how they started, with me saying, what are you, fucking gay? What's wrong with you, man? Well, we don't got nothing in common. My first sponsor used to be a D.C. cop, and, you know, and you know, I'm just telling you who I was. You know what I mean? I was always leery of that cat. I was like, what? I love that dude to death, man. I went to his 50th birthday party a few weeks ago. You know what I mean? That wasn't an NA thing, right? I was the only person in the room that was in the program. You know what I mean? That was with his family, his sisters, his daughter. You know what I mean? His daughter who looks good is 18 years old. You know what I mean? For real. See what I'm saying? That's how I know the cat loves me. You know what I mean? That's how I know all these years later this is real. You know? See, I'm passionate about this thing, man. Passionate about this thing. All the pain that I've caused on myself, all the pain that's happened to me, I went a little fast forward there. All the pain that's happened to me since I've been in this program, I have caused. My sponsor challenges me on a daily basis, right? You know, I always look for the graduation part. You know what I mean? That's probably exact nature, right? Is why I'm resentful, why I was resentful, right? About, you know, the programming committee, you know, not inviting me over to the other building. You know what I mean? Because, see, I look for things, right? I look for things to say, yeah, you cured now, Slim, let's go on home. You know, I look for that. I look for it. Man, you tell me you got the pill for sale right now. Not the one that's going to get me high, but you tell me it's going to fix me? The button to push, the guide to pray to, just tell me what to call him. I mean, I tried all that before I got here. Thanks God I got that experience. You know, and I'm here to report it. It ain't working like that. You know? And what would I be? What would I be, right? Check this out. So I came into the program, right? And I heard this called a bunch of different things. And, you know, people talk about make a gratitude list. And this is what they told me, right? They said, Mark, dream is as high as you want to dream. Come up with your greatest dream. Give it to me. And I said, okay. And I came up with a dream, and I shared it with that same sponsor. It used to be a D.C. cop. And he was straight-faced, man. I wouldn't have been straight-faced. Sponsor, he would have told me the crazy, and I'm going to tell y'all what I said. Told me the crazy shit I said, I would have busted out laughing. You know what I mean? But he took it with a straight face, serious. And he said, a year from now, we're going to look at this. And I said, okay, cool. And this is what I told him. I dreamed that I had a Cadillac. Right? Not a new Cadillac, a 5-year-old Cadillac. Right? And not an Eldorado, which is what I really wanted, but a Seville, which is what I would have settled for. Okay? They said, dream as big as you can dream, Mark. You know what I mean? I could have dreamed of that $500,000 house in Potomac. I could have dreamed about that multi-billion-dollar business. I could have dreamed I was a rock star. I said, dream as big as you can dream. And I dreamed of a Cadillac. It wasn't even brand new, man. It was 5 years old. It wasn't even 2 years old. It was 5 years old. And it wasn't even the Cadillac that I really wanted. Right? It was the one I would have settled for 5 years old. How crazy is that? But that's where I was. That's who I was, right? And let me tell you a little bit about who I really was, the rationale behind that, right? If I had dreamed I had a house, which is truly about as far as I could have possibly went, right? And I went back to the penitentiary, which is what I always do, right? Because I didn't believe I was really going to stay clean and be protected and in the care of. You know what I mean? This shit was still great, right? And I went back to the penitentiary, right? Like I always do. And I said, man, guess what, man? I got a $500,000 crib when I was out there. They'd be like, damn, Mark's a liar now, too. But if I said I had a 5-year-old Seville, you'd be like, yeah, he was pimping. That was as far as I could go, man. That was as far as I could go. That was as close to my reality as I could get out of. How fucking sick is that? And I'm talking about I can't identify with people in a 3 o'clock meeting. Are you crazy? I'm talking to me now. Well, I'm talking to me now. Identify? I can more than identify. You know what I mean? This is where I belong. This is where my higher power sent me tonight. You know what I mean? It wanted to be over there. Wanted to be over here. It was to be right here. And as long as I'm in conflict with that posture of surrender, as long as I'm in conflict with my higher power's will for me, I will not be happy. And I'll find myself perpetrating some kind of behavior clean that'll have me riding the storm out. So if you're riding the storm out tonight, we understand, is what I'm here to tell you. I'm not here to tell you that it won't ever happen. I'm here to tell you that it doesn't have to happen. Chances are it's going to. And so, when you find yourself in that place, I don't know a better place to be than with another recovering addict. And that's the best I got for you. So thanks for letting me share. Nice to share, man.